Good morning and welcome on this beautiful Sunday morning. Happy Memorial Day weekend to everyone. And Virginia Lang has graciously offered to lead our hymn sing today. So thank you, Virginia. So if you would start us off, someone, with a request. Yes, sir.
348, first and last.
First and last. 348. First and last. Last verse. Yes, Alita, I think. 395, 1 and 4. 395, 1 and 4. Susan, 420? One and two. Sorry, Virginia.
Which verses?
One and two.
Mm-hmm.
Trudy, I think you had one. 131. 431. What verses?
Oh, okay.
Then that does it.
Which verses?
431. All of it.
Okay.
Okay. And I think on a day like today, I'd say let's do this one more time. Thank you. I agree with you. Amen. Thank you, Colleen. It's always beautiful. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith, on this beautiful Memorial Weekend. We're glad that you're here. And I've been gone for a while, so I am finding out that we have new sign-in prayer request cards. Once you've completed them, there's a basket at the end of your pew, and if you can please make sure that you get that into the basket so we can record your attendance. Thank you for joining us today for worship. After the service, please join us in the fellowship hall across the breezeway for conversation and refreshments. Following our fellowship time at 10 o'clock, or excuse me, 11 o'clock in the Camellia Room, The Chosen is being shown season 5. Happy birthday to all of our May birthday folks: April Klein, Everett Perea, William Greening, Gary Moline, Beverly Stevens, Pat Short, and Susan Wamsley. So happy birthday to all of you, and I hope you can continue celebrating over the next week. Happy anniversary. May your marriage be blessed with love, joy, and happiness. Dean and Dale Barwick up in Alaska, I believe. David Will and Sharon Hustis, Mike and Denise Hinckley. So happy anniversary to all of you. The main newsletter is available in the Narthex. If you need to change any information, please make sure that you contact the church office, mail, email, or pickup. I know I get mine through the email, so I appreciate it. Thank you, Deb, and our office for doing that. Today is our Memorial Day weekend, tomorrow being Memorial Day. Hopefully, all of you will have a time in your day where you can remember and honor those that have fought to preserve our country. Thank you. Administrative Council meeting is Tuesday, May 26th at 7 p.m., and it's via Zoom.
Yep.
Okay. And now if you would please stand as you are able to join me in the call to worship. Okay. O Lord Jesus, you do not snuff out the smoldering wick of our souls.
Bring down the heavenly fire of the Holy Spirit upon us this day.
That we may breathe in the life-giving Spirit and be renewed.
That our hearts may be rekindled and glow with faith, hope, and love.
Please remain standing and join with the insert. I will sing of my Redeemer, verses 1-3.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my Lord has tasted to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power. How the victory gives over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh, sing, oh, my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Peace with you, be with you, and please pass the peace. Our joys and concerns will follow. And Zoom can unmute.
We are not left alone. Thank you. Somebody take a notice. It was fabulous.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I'm glad that you guys got to.
It was great. The weather was great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty nice up there.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
But to see the train go over itself is
yep. Amazing.
I was on a train that went over itself. I had to run that route one time just for the they put train dispatchers on trains to do a trip. And that was my job. Okay.
Yeah.
See your territory.
Sure.
Because seeing it on a computer or whatever is different than being on the computer.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. All right, folks. Let's welcome our church family members on Zoom worshiping with us today on this beautiful day. Good morning to you, Helen. So glad to see you every Sunday without failing. And Judy has come on Zoom today. Good morning to you, Judy. And June, good morning. Kenny, good morning. And I'm sure Alicia and Destiny are together this morning. Good morning to both of you. And April and Mike, good morning to you. Chris. Good morning, and good morning to the one on iPad. We appreciate you worshiping with us. And also, good morning to Carol and Mike.
And George.
Where is George?
He's right there, in his red shirt.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you just came in, maybe. I just missed you.
No, he was there.
You was there? My screen... Oh, okay. My screen moved around.
Okay.
I didn't forget you, George. Don't be upset, okay? I see your red shirt.
And he looks good in a red shirt with his white beard, huh?
All right, very good.
I'm going to ask for prayers for all of those that are graduating here in the weeks past and in the weeks to come, all of our graduates, whether they be kindergarten through post-secondary, I wish them the best, and I hope we'll keep them in our thoughts and prayers as they move forward with their new life adventures.
And I'm going to ask her for your prayers for Pat Shores. She's not here today, which is really unusual for her, but she's having trouble with arthritis, and she's having trouble with sleeping, and she's not really generally well, and that's so unusual for her, but keep her in prayer for healing and for patience and for all of that stuff.
Thank you for saying about the graduates. I almost forgot. Lorraine's granddaughter, who has become very close with me, she had three graduations. Three, and I told her, I said, I've never heard of anybody having three. Graduated from high school. She graduated from the program for pharmacy. So she's going to start a career, start off as an assistant pharmacist, and also from Valley College, because she took some of her things there. Whoa. So kudos to her.
Wow, very nice.
That's an impressive list.
And then if you haven't noticed, Sophie is wearing red as well today.
Good morning. I'd like to ask prayers. This is Trudy Baird, and I'd like to ask prayers for my oldest brother now. His, as we all know, our children move away, and his moved to Georgia when her children were young. So, and he's in Maine. So the problem is that Melanie, his wife, has Alzheimer's, and my oldest brother cannot physically take care of her anymore. So she's in Georgia, and he's in Maine, and he's very worried about what's going to happen. And he loves her to death, but he can't be there all the time because he refuses to leave his home in Maine. So he just found out he has prostate cancer, and he has he may go blind with the issue in his eye. So he's having some problems. Please pray for him. Robert Hussey. Thanks.
Need some prayers for my son and his wife. They're going to the Philippines in a couple weeks. And the area they're going to has had some serious political unrest. It's Mike and Hannah.
And I'm going to embarrass Charlie here. He won't be embarrassed. This is Charlie Grassel, and he's going to be preaching for us when Pastor Phillips is at annual conference. So please welcome Charlie, because he's awesome.
Charlie preached for me when I was attending the annual conference a couple of times before, and his schedule was always busy during the month of June because he's got to lead a retreat, a lot of retreats. But he has a one-day spot available for us, so he's going to preach for me in June.
Does anyone on Zoom have a prayer request? Raise your hand.
If you will please join me in the unison prayer as printed in the bulletin and on our screens. An invitation of the Holy Spirit. O God, the Holy Spirit, come to us and among us. Come as the wind and cleanse us. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the dew and refresh. Convict, convert, and consecrate many hearts and lives to our great good and to thy greater glory. This we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence. We definitely need to continue our prayers for this nation. And we are grateful for all those who gave their life for this nation. And we pray that this nation will continue to be established on the foundation of the faith, and that we can continue to be the beacon of God's light to the world. Lord Jesus, we offer our hearts to you. We offer our unspoken prayers. You know what is going on in our life. You know where we are in life. You know what we need. You know our problems. And you have the solution to all the problems we have. So we come to you recognizing you are with us. Even though we feel darkness upon our journey, you are there for us, you are with us, you are guiding us, you are shining your light on our path. So, Lord, we come together to worship you because you are our great God, you are our great Savior and Sustainer. Without you, O Lord, we cannot continue on, and with you, everything is possible. We are grateful today, O Lord, for all those who gave their lives for this great nation. And we pray that we will not disappoint their sacrifices and continue to be established upon the firm foundation of your word, upon the faith that we may be the source of hope and the very dispatcher of the gospel message to all those who still haven't heard in the world today. And we also remember all the sacrifices of those who have given their life for the sake of the gospel message, that we may continue to preach the gospel as we should and build your churches everywhere. We are celebrating the birthday of your churches today, O Lord, and we ask the empowerment of your churches through your Holy Spirit. We ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon all the churches everywhere in the world, that we may experience great spiritual awakening worldwide. So, Lord, use your churches and use this church that we may be the instrument of your gospel, of your truth, and of your Holy Spirit. We ask your blessing of the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us as well, that we may be awakened spiritually, that we may be made strong spiritually, that we may be the disciple that you want us to be by the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, be with us today and be glorified as we worship together this morning. We know that you are in our life, working within us and among us, and we recognize your will, your sovereign will, and we recommit ourselves to be your followers once more, and we recommit ourselves to fulfill your will upon our lives. And we ask that you fulfill your will upon your church here in Yucaipa and everywhere in the world. So, Lord, we yield to you, recognizing your will in our lives. So now we join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We will now sing the Spirit Song, number 347, verses 1 and 2.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the thing that holds you, and His Spirit, like a dove, will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Oh, come and sing this song with gladness, as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hand in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness, give Him all your years of pain. And you enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and feel your lambs.
The scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. Perseverance in prayer. I'll get that out. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. So glad to see you here in this beautiful sanctuary. The weather is gorgeous. I opened the windows, and when I came, the sanctuary was like 74. That's the temperature that I set for the AC. But by opening the window, the temperature even dropped. So it's really cool here in the sanctuary. And I miss you worshiping with you guys on Zoom, but I pray the working of the Holy Spirit will be with you as well, that we may all hear the message that God has prepared for all of us to hear this morning. A man grew up in a family that adored baked beans. Unfortunately, baked beans adored him right back with explosive affection. When he got engaged, his fiancé gently asked if he would consider giving them up because of the after effect. Out of love, he agreed. Years later, on his birthday, he was walking home from work when he caught the heavenly smell of baked beans drifting from a little diner. He tried to resist, but then he thought, "It's my birthday. Surely one plate won't hurt." As he walked home, he figured everything would settle down before he got home. When he arrived, his wife greeted him excitedly. "Honey, I have a special birthday surprise for you." She blindfolded him and led him to the head of the dining table. "Don't peek," she warned. Just then, the phone rang. "I'll be right back." The moment she left the room, the pressure began building like a volcano, preparing for a national disaster. He clenched with all his strength, but the beans were winning. Finally, he cautiously leaned to one side and let out a tiny puff. The smell was awful. He waved his hand frantically to clear the air, but another one escaped, then another, each louder and deadlier than the last. At last, relieved and sweaty, he heard his wife returning. He straightened up, folded his hands politely, and smiled innocently behind the blindfold. "Honey," she asked sweetly, "are you ready for your surprise?" "Yes," he said confidently. She removed the blindfold. "Surprise!" He opened his eyes to find dinner guests sitting around the table, all staring at him in stunned silence while holding their noses. People wear blindfolds to the spiritual reality. When they take blindfolds off, they will surely be surprised by God's presence and the spiritual world in which they live. This happened to Saul, who had adamantly persecuted Christians. On his way to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him in a blinding flash and left him blind. This shed light on the spiritual blindness Saul was completely oblivious to. 3 days later, he was prayed over and something like scales fell from his eyes to restore his sight. On this birthday of the Christian church, we will reflect on the significance of the Holy Spirit's spiritual awakening. By the way, today coincides that famous Wesley's conversion in Aldersgate in London, May 24th, 1738, 288 years ago on this exact day, John Wesley had a Holy Spirit's experience. Gospel lesson today is often quoted in lessons on prayer, but Jesus was certainly speaking about the Holy Spirit in conjunction with prayer. The lesson holds an amazing truth about who we are, who Jesus is, and our spiritual need that only Jesus can satisfy. It covers so many teachings, and I'm going to touch on each very briefly. And this is something that you are very familiar with, may not find a lot of meanings, but it has profound meaning of Christianity in relation to the Holy Spirit. So maybe you want to read the scripture lesson we just read again when you go home. In the story of Jesus, someone had an unexpected guest and went to his friend to borrow 3 loaves of bread. Why 3 loaves of bread? 3 loaves of bread hold an important meaning. Bread, in human terms, always stands for sustenance, but Jesus used it to speak of himself. When Jesus was fasting to prepare for the ministry, Satan came to tempt him. He told Jesus to make bread out of stone. Jesus refuted him, saying that people cannot live on bread alone, but by the word of God. The word that became flesh is Jesus. The day after he fed 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." My interpretation of 3 loaves of bread is that it signifies the Trinity: God, the giver of manna; Jesus, the manna itself, the living bread; and the Holy Spirit, who personally delivers the manna to believers by living within us. God, who is a spirit, created us in his image. Therefore, we are all spiritual beings and need to eat the spiritual bread that comes from the Trinity. Jesus used the term in his story, "you." Suppose you have a friend. You point to the disciples in his teaching, which applies to everyone, including you and me. The host said, "A friend of mine on a journey has come to me. I have no food to offer him." The host here speaks of universal truth. His friend was on a journey, so was the host, and everyone is. During the earthly journey, everyone needs shelter and sustenance, but not everyone knows that God is our shelter and provider, and no humans have the spiritual bread to offer, whereas the Trinity does. So who is this friend? The host went to ask for bread. the true friend who would not refuse. The true friend is Jesus. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friend if you do what I command. Jesus, our true friend, has three loaves of bread, the bread from the Trinity we need. Look at the timing. The host went to his friend at midnight, when all the stores were closed and everyone was asleep. He was asking his friend at an inappropriate hour. Plus, his friend had no obligation to give him the bread. Jesus said that even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. This speaks to the host's unworthiness. He's got that shameless audacity. He was unworthy. Likewise, all of us are unworthy friends and do not deserve to receive the life-giving bread from Jesus, but by the merit of our true friend, we receive it. Midnight reveals the fact that people learn their spiritual need in darkness, in times of trouble, not in daylight, when they are surrounded by friends and family and have easy access to provisions for self-care. The darkness comes to us unexpectedly as the host was visited by his friend whom he did not expect and was unprepared for. We are not fully prepared to handle the darkness that comes to us unexpectedly. But when we have Jesus, the living bread, in our lives, we can go through dark times. The story concludes with the certainty of receiving the bread. Immediately after, Jesus reinforced this certainty by saying, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, though to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Our asking for the living bread is simply shameless because we are unworthy. Yet Jesus warrants an answer with certainty. Jesus then shifted the focus from the true friend to the Heavenly Father. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus emphasized the profound knowledge our Heavenly Father has of our need, far greater than an earthly father's knowledge of what is good for his children. The Heavenly Father sees what is good for us and gives the Holy Spirit. In the previous story, the true friend gave bread. Now in this, the Heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the living bread. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Therefore, the bread and the Holy Spirit are the same. When people eat this living bread of Jesus, they have the Holy Spirit within them, supplying spiritual nurture and will never hunger again. In this teaching on prayer, Jesus tells us that we are unworthy to receive the living bread and the Holy Spirit from him. But not because we are good, rather because he is such a true and faithful friend, he gives us the living bread and the Holy Spirit we need for our spiritual well-being. In fact, the Holy Spirit is indispensable for our spiritual life, and there is no better gift and blessing than the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father knows it. Then how do we receive the Holy Spirit that we need? By simply asking our true friend for it, even though we are unworthy. When we ask Jesus, he never fails to answer our prayers and anoint us with the Holy Spirit. All the churches and believers need the Holy Spirit for revival and spirit-filled life. So many churches in the Western Hemisphere have been dwindling. We need a worldwide spiritual awakening that John Wesley began after his conversion in London on the exact day, 288 years ago. Actually, when I look up 1738, okay, that year, the Pentecost Sunday fell on May 21st, okay? So, you know, there's not much of difference on the date. On that Pentecost Sunday, Charles Wesley received the Holy Spirit. He was suffering from the toothache and, you know, all that symptoms, serious symptoms, and the doctors told him that he was going to die. And there were a couple of people who took care of him, and they were the Moravians, convinced him that he can receive the Holy Spirit, and by God's power, he can be healed. And he was indeed. And 3 days later, John Wesley, on May 24th, received the Holy Spirit. At a prayer and Bible study of Moravians in Aldersgate Street in London. Okay. Now, during the 18th century, during the time of Charles and John Wesley, England was in economic, political, cultural, and spiritual darkness. And the following is something that I found from the fosterhistory.com. Sir William Blackstone, who lived around the time, 1723-1780, an English jurist and politician best known for writing the commentaries on laws of England, visited the church of every major clergyman in London, but did not hear a single discourse which had more Christianity in it than the writing of Cicero, an eloquent Roman orator of the first century BC. In most sermons he heard, it would have been impossible to tell just from listening whether the preacher was a follower of Christ, Muhammad, or Confucius. Morally, the country was becoming more and more depraved. Drunkenness was rampant. Gambling was so extensive that one historian described England as one vast casino. The public hangings were considered a real spectacle, and the crowd witnessed these killings in a massive way. Parents would bring their children and a picnic out to the gallows to watch criminals die by hanging, and the young people were excited, just like a rock concert. Newborns were exposed in the streets, and 97% of the infant poor in the workhouse died as children. Some others add and say that all jails were overcrowded. One out of every four women were prostitutes, many of them as young as 8 years old. thousands died annually from syphilis and gonorrhea. That's another sexually transmitted disease. Crime abounded. Slavery was widespread and brutal. And during this spiritual and social darkness, God sent John Wesley, who transformed England through a spiritual revival, helped avert a violent revolution akin to the French Revolution, and brought about general transformation across every sector. The spiritual awakening then spread across Europe and the Americas. It was completely life-transforming, world-transforming awakening. Behind this Wesley's conversion were Moravians. Wesley met them on his voyage to Atlanta, Georgia, in the middle of the storm. He was terrified when Moravians, including children, did not fear. He returned from the mission in Georgia feeling dejected. He went to a gathering of Moravians in Aldersgate, London, and received the fire of the Holy Spirit. According to his expression, he said he felt his heart strangely warmed. That's the fire of the Holy Spirit working inside of his heart. It was because of that Moravians he was converted. And the Moravians had kept 24/7 prayer vigil for over 100 years, beginning in 1727 at Herne, Germany. See that power of prayer behind John Wesley's conversion and the worldwide spiritual awakening that follows? Behind the great spiritual awakening was the prayer of Moravians. We need to pray as Moravians did so that the prophecy of Joel may be fulfilled. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Do any of us feel dry in our hearts? Are we in spiritual darkness? Then let us go to our true friend, Jesus, and ask for the Holy Spirit. He will fill us with the Holy Spirit and remove the darkness. Amen.
Now is the time for our offerings, and you can put those in the back, or you can put yourself you can bring it to the office.
Jesus, rose of Sharon, bloom within my heart. Beauty of thy truth and holiness impart. There where I go, my life may shed abroad. Knowledge of the love of God. Jesus, rose of shame. throat of Sharon, sweet, far to me. Than the fairest flowers of earth could ever be. Fill my life completely, adding more each day of thy grace, divine and purity, I play. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, blooming radiance and in love within my heart. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, balm for every ill. May the tender mercies a healing power distill for afflicted souls of weary burdened men, giving needy mortals health and hope again. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, blooming radiance and in love within my heart.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
As we stand before your cross, we recognize your grace, your mercy, the forgiveness of our sins, the life everlasting you have given unto us as gift. We also recognize the gift of the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us and upon this church. So, Lord, we thank you, we bless you with these blessings, a small token of our thankfulness from our hearts and from our lives. We ask you to receive it, bless it, that it may be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would please join us in our final hymn, Spirit of Faith, Come Down, number 332, 1 through 3.
Spirit of faith, come down, reveal the things of God, and make to us the Godhead known, and witness with the blood. Is thine the blood apply, and give us eyes to see, who did for every sinner die, has surely died for me. None can truly say that Jesus is the Lord unless they take the veil away and breathe the living word.
then only then we feel our interest in his blood, and crying with joy unspeakable, thou art my Lord, my God. Oh, that the world might know the whole atoning Lamb, Spirit of faith descend and show the virtue of his name. The grace we all may find, the saving power impart, and testify to humankind, and speak in every heart.
Before we pray, I just want to give you a 10-second testimony, okay? What's it? You know, the reason that I stand here was because I had a Holy Spirit experience when I was in high school. And I can never trade with anything in the world. That experience in my teenage years transformed my life, and God called me to ministry. That's why I'm here. And I pray that if you have not received the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in the scripture with the promise that we only need to ask. We just ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon us, and your life will never be the same. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for the spiritual heritage we inherited through John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And our prayer is that, oh Lord, we will get to see that revival happening again in the Methodist Church, in the Presbyterian Church, in the Lutheran Church, in the Baptist Church, and all the churches in the world today. And we know it is possible, O Lord, for that great spiritual awakening to happen because we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do it. It did on the day of Pentecost, and it can do it again today. So, Lord, bless each and every one of us. We want to experience your Holy Spirit. We are open to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. So, Lord, we are opening ourselves. Come unto us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon this church, upon all your churches today, that we may be restored to that very spiritual awakening that we need, then every believers and every church will be filled with your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, do it again today. And that is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. No, he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love, and sure you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above.